Yeah, right? Like, they, I think, feel like they need to do that at the Oscars at some point. Like, you know. Oh, no, we get that this was stupid. But yeah. Does Ric Flair always look old? Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Attitude Era Wrestling Review Podcast, as today we will be reviewing WCW Monday Nitro from August 18th, 1997 from my old stomping grounds. Yes, that's right. I used to live in this city, Birmingham, Alabama. And boy, have we got a doozy for you. So let's not get into it. Let's introduce who we got today. Of course, I am your two-time armchair Booker of the Year, Drew, soon to be finalist for third year in a row, going for the three-peat, just like Michael and the Bulls. And in 97, that's pretty accurate. All right. My tag team partner, of course, is the man with the plan, the man with the velvet vocal cords, Arnold. How are you today, Arnold?
I'm fantastic, Drew. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. Got to watch some wrestling. We'll talk about it, rip it apart. Or maybe it was good. We don't know. But you know what? We have a guest today who, if you listen to our Raw review, you already know, but maybe not. But of course, we have Lauren from the Beard Owl podcast. Lauren, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Great. Glad to have you here. Now, Lauren, you're not a, as we'd say, a wrestling aficionado, are you?
I am not.
That's right. So we've got a kind of a newbie. You said you've been watching it for a couple months now. Your boyfriend introduced you and you've been watching some older stuff. Do you watch anything new?
No.
Thank God. You keep that guy around. He knows his stuff. Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah. Yeah, keep him around. If he would have said, oh, he watches a lot of all modern, no, curb there, right there, dump, no, gone, but no. Yeah, good guy. Who, spoiler alert, you guys will get to talk to next week because he's our guest next week. Aha! And Lauren, tell us, where are you from?
Oh, I have the where physically?
Or no.
I know. My podcast.
Yes, what's your home address? And
my home address. Are you going to send all the hate mail? No, I have the Beard Owl podcast, the podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Al Yankovic. And you can find us wherever you get podcasts at beardowlpodcast.com and at Beard Owl Podcast on all of the socials.
Yeah, if you're not following Laura on Twitter, I think I called you an idiot on Raw. I'll call you a moron on Nitro. If you're not following, you're a moron. Go do it. It's hilarious. And what day is it for the shirt? Numbers.
As of our recording here today, I can tell you in just a second, day 634.
634 of her taking a picture of with a Weird Al shirt.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I have 634 different Weird Al shirts. It means I have a rather large rotation.
Don't break kayfabe.
Make sure I wear one.
Don't break kayfabe.
At least part of the day.
You have at least 800 shirts, Lauren. We all know it.
Yeah, right? Could you imagine?
You rinse the house next door just to keep her shirts.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anywho, speaking of people that probably need a new shirt, we start out Nitro with a promo by Raven with his tattered clothes and mid-90s pre-emo attitude. Is that what would you call that, pre-emo kind of
something like that,
whatever he was?
It's like post-grunge.
Yeah, post-grunge. He's different. Let's see, I do like this promo though, because he quotes one of my favorite songs ever. He quotes Name by Goo Goo Dolls, so that was kind of hilarious to me, because he's saying that and he's like, scars are souvenirs, you never lose. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's not going to. And I'm like, if he says the past is never, and then he says it, and I'm like, okay, now you're just quoting lyrics from music. But I loved it. It was one of those dark Raven promos. We've all heard them. You know what it is. It was okay. We're still getting intro'd to him. He's been in ECW, so if you watched ECW, you know who he is. But this is not really our first introduction, but we're really getting to know the person. All right, and we're going to start off tonight with a hot tag team match. It is a rematch from Road Wild. That's right, it's the Harlem Heat with Jacqueline versus Buff Bagwell and Scott Norton with Vergent. And, of course, we got Shivani, Tanay, and Zabisco on commentary. And this match was pretty good. I like it, except for the finish. And, you know, the match was great. All four of these guys can go pretty well. Norton's kind of one-dimensional. He's just a big, strong dude. But the other three can really go. And this was good. Tanay teasing Zabisco about Bischoff was kind of funny on commentary. But, all right, let's just go to the finish here. So, Stevie Ray's getting the crap kicked out of him. Booker T gets the hot tag, cleans house. Then, blatantly right in front of the ref, Vergent just jumps up on the apron and hits Booker T. Then here comes some of the NWO, and Harlem Heat fight him off and stand tall. It was a good opening match, but the finish was just weird because Harlem Heat beat them at Road Wild. Wasn't clean. Jacqueline had a little bit to do with it. But why the DQ here? Didn't make sense to me. Did any of that make sense to you, Arnold?
I mean, not really. Like you said, I mean, especially all things considered, because the Harlem Heat got the win at Road Wild. So it's like, why bother with this screwy finish if you didn't have to? And I mean, I guess for me, I just saw, because the match itself was fun to watch. It was an entertaining match. It started hot. The crowd was into it. I was into it. My neighbor might have been into it because I was into it. And it's like you get all of that, and then the finish is kind of wah, wah, wah. And for what? Like, are we trying to give Vergent some heat?
He's got go-home heat with me, but that's a little different. Hey, at least we get Harlem Heat as faces here and not heels.
True.
Because the crowd doesn't hate them. What we're talking about, Lauren, Harlem Heat's last match at Road Wild was at Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in 1996 and 97. So even though they're the good guys, the crowd hated them because it was awkward.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. It was 96 was really bad because they just stood in the ring.
96 was real bad.
They just stood in the ring for like 5 minutes, making the crowd pissed off, and you could tell was probably a little bit thoroughly enjoying it just to make them mad.
Kind of like their inner New Jack.
Yeah. No, New Jack would have went in the crowd with a switchblade.
He was like, give me a mic. Let's make these people mad.
Oh, my God. Oh, he had a. Could you imagine New Jack at Sturgis pulling one of his Smoky Mountain Wrestling promos?
He might have got shot. He might have gotten shot.
Yeah. Lauren, I don't know if you know who New Jack is. He was a wrestler in the mid-90s, basically, who would go out, and he was an African-American, and his partner would go out, we're told, in Middle Tennessee in 1993, 94, 95. His whole thing was go out and make white people mad.
Okay.
Yeah. He had to have like police escorts out of buildings. But he was good at it.
He was good at it.
And they're some of the best promos I've ever heard in my life. But yeah. But yeah, this match, great in the ring, finish fell flat, but I still gave it a B.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And I'd say really that's where I landed on it too. Cause like I said, the match itself was fun to watch. And honestly, it was better than their match with Road Wild, if you ask me. But then again, I mean, look at the crowd. But yeah, it's just the finish fell flat for me. But I also gave this one a B.
Yeah, I'm still at the point where like I'm needing to watch a little bit more to really appreciate like what's physically happening in the ring. Like I can get the whole like story part of it. So like I'm going with a C+ on it because, well, I guess it was like entertaining physically. I didn't get what it was doing.
Well, yeah, I could see where that could be, especially when this is just a random rematch and you didn't really see the first one. I could see where that'd be an issue. The whole NWO thing, have you been told about them yet? They're all the invading. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So this is what's called the NWO Goon Squad.
Mm-hmm. Oh so. Yeah. I know all of that. It's just like, I don't know.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. No problem. All right. So we'll move on to our next match. And Arnold, it's your turn, but I want this one because I know you'll want the next one. Yeah. So I'm going to take this one because my very first note I wrote was, this is classic second match. This is, of course, that probably Starrcade main event coming up, Barbarian versus Mortis with James Vanderbeek or Vandenberg, whatever. Now let me say this. This match absolutely surprised me because this really to me wasn't Barbarian versus Mortis. This was Barbarian versus Chris Canyon. That's just how I kept thinking of it in my mind. The Mortis character is offensive to me. It's stupid. They started modeling people after Mortal Kombat. That's a game. I could not think of the word. That's why he looks like he does. It's goofy. It's weird. But we see another skull-crushing finale in the middle of this. Kind of weird. Not seeing that move forever, and suddenly two people pulled out on same week. Skip to the finish. Mortis off the top rope gets a big power slam for two count. But Barbarian hits the big boot. 1, 2, 3. Barbarian wins. Wrath comes down from behind. Hits a pretty much a rock bottom. Mortis comes down. Ming comes down, gets the grip on Mortis, and won't let it go. But Ming finally lets go, and Ming and Barbarian stand tall. So we're working toward Barbarian and Ming versus Mortis and Wrath in a tag feud. So not bad. But in between the ring, between the ropes, this was great. This was these two guys putting on a great match, despite one of them having a really stupid, goofy gimmick. Next. Sorry, that's the end of my thought. Arnold? Lauren? Mm-hmm.
I don't remember much of this one, so I think that says something to me. Like, you know, you were talking about, I was like, oh, yeah, but I feel like I've seen so much preparing for this, I was just like, this one just kind of like fell out of my brain.
Fair enough. I mean, this match wasn't very long, so it's easy to just kind of push it out. And I get it. And excuse me. With this one, for what time we did get of in-ring stuff, it was good. This is just two big guys going back and forth. And that's always fun to watch for me anyway. And it's like, even with the extracurriculars after the match, like it made sense. Cause of course Wrath is allied with Mortis and Ming and Barbarian are a tag team. So it's like, okay, these make sense. So you don't have, you know, Joe Schmo coming out of the back for no reason to throw a trash can at someone, so we'll take it. Overall, though, I mean, it wasn't too bad. I did give it a C, and a lot of that had to do with time. It's just like, I would have liked to have seen at least a little bit more in this match here between Barbarian and Mortis, but I'll take what I can get.
So I guess I was in a good mood then. And I was watching this while I was sitting at the mechanic shop having my car fixed, so maybe that's why I was in such a good mood. Makes no sense whatsoever. But anyway, all right, so Bischoff comes down. He still needs to shave. Sleazy E Yep. Invites the whole crowd to a party. Then proceeds to tell us that that party is Clash of Champions Thursday. Yada, yada, yada. Promotes that. Calls out Zabisco, but says he has a restraining order on him too. Ha, ha, ha. So, yeah. More on that later. Tells James J. Dillon that the NWO wants their own show. Maybe. That Thursday slot's looking pretty nice. Strokes beard. All right. You know who's up next, Arnold?
I think so.
Mean! That's right. It's Mean Gene Okerlund. And he comes out with Ric Flair and Kurt Hennig. And we're getting Conan and Six versus Flair and Hennig at Clash of the Champions Thursday. Hennig is his partner, but not a horseman. And Flair keeps calling him a horseman this whole interview. Hennig tries to weasel out of that. And did you notice this whole promo? Hennig skirts around using the word perfect. He was trying to, but just not say it. Because, of course, Mr. Perfect was his name for the other company, so now he can't use it. So he's everybody knows that's who he is, but he's trying not to use it so they don't get sued. Blah, blah, blah. Because we're still in the heels of, you know who we are. Oh, Vince McMahon, lawyer line one. All right. This was an okay interview. It just basically set up the match for Clash of Champions. Not a big deal. All right, Arnold. I know you've been waiting. Here's your boy. Tell us about him.
All right, our next matchup. Actually, before we get to the next match, I just want to say I had to pause and laugh whenever Flair said he was going to ride Conan hard and hang him wet.
Yeah.
Because I'm a child. But anyway. Next up on the card, though, we have Stevie Richards, Raven's buddy, taking on Buff Bagwell's former buddy, Scotty Riggs. So we get an in-ring debut here for Mr. Richards. Still donning his long hair and fun attitude before he cuts it and becomes a jerk. But anyways, he will be facing Raven in what Mike Tenay called a grudge match at the Clash of Champions. So, all right, cool. Rick starts off this match in controls and delivers probably the sloppiest monkey flip I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And some of those, it's kind of like, all right, you know, maybe somebody kind of derped a little bit, but no, that was just blatantly sloppy. I'm surprised they didn't say, let's try that again. But we get out to the floor, and Stevie decides to throw Scotty into the ring post. And then gets back in the ring, delivers a Stevie bomb for two. Riggs gets his little comeback and goes, wow, gets kicked right to the face. Bet that didn't taste too good. But Stevie Richards gets the win. But not so fast, my friends, because Raven shows up from the crowd and drops his patented even flow DDT. Looks at the damage and then just goes back out through the crowd with the crowd chanting his name. That was probably the least sloppiest part of the match, if you want to call that part of the match. Overall, though, the whole thing was, I don't know what they were going for with Stevie Richards and Scotty Riggs here, but it was sloppy from the bell. And basically, that just showed me that Stevie Richards is pretty much just going to job out to Raven on Thursday. Kind of hurt me a little bit because, I mean, nothing against Scotty Riggs. Dude can go. But so can Stevie Richards. And this didn't really showcase any of that. And so I ended up giving this one. This was another C for me.
All right, Laura.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I feel that. And I feel like my opinion on a lot of this Nitro is going to be very much there. I didn't really care for much of this at all. I wasn't as gripped by this as other things that I've seen. Let's just say that. So yeah, I'm with you on a C for that, just because I was just like, eh.
All right. I totally get that. Yeah. At this week is one of those where, grades aside, I think Nitro got kind of beat. I like this a little more, I guess. I like that, what would you call it, a Stevie bomb, where it's like a spine buster power bomb type thing. Mm. I like that move. That was a pretty nice move. Other than that, I'm not too invested in this Raven Stevie Richards thing. I think this is one of those. Arnold, you can probably tell me this because you know a little more of their history than I do. Is this something that would be a little more invested in if I watched them in ECW?
More or less, because like, if you're somebody who didn't watch ECW and you see Raven and Stevie Richards in the crowd one week on Nitro, and you're probably sitting there thinking, okay, who the hell are these guys and why are they important? They're in the crowd. But of course they tell you, oh, it's Raven and Stevie Richards. But my thing is, with that whole thing, it's like, why have them sitting together? And it doesn't matter, because something would go on. Mean Gene would ask Raven a question and Stevie Richards would say something Stevie Richards-esque and then get pummeled by Raven. So it's kind of like, yeah, that whole thing didn't really make sense there. And I mean, yeah, they had some bouts there in ECW. So, I mean, I guess maybe it would be a grudge match, I guess, of sorts come Thursday.
Yeah, it's a no DQ match is what they're going to end up having, and Raven will beat him in 5 minutes.
What?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, since we're not going to do Clash of Champions, I'll go ahead and spoil that. All right, so we'll move on. We get Mean Gene with Guerrero, Double J, and Deborah. Alex Wright comes down and wants to join Team Deborah.
Das Wunderkind.
Das Wunderkind, yes. She says no, but if he wins a TV title, she might consider it. Spoiler alert. He wins the TV title from Ultimo Dragon in a 14-minute match. So Raven and Richards get 5, but Alex Wright and Ultimo Dragon get 14. I may look that up and watch it, because that may actually be a good match.
Mm-hmm.
For reference, Guerrero and Chris Jericho get 6.5. So double the match for Alex Wright and Ultimo Dragon. Either they said, screw it, and we're just going long, or somebody said, you know what, let's just give them a bunch of time. I don't know which it is. Not really invested in Alex Wright anymore, because I don't like this gimmick. I didn't like him as a babyface. He needs somebody to talk for him, and it's not Deborah. Yeah. But since Double J and Eddie Guerrero are out here, they're going to face Mongo and Benoit. All right. We get the NWO Happy Birthday commercial, and I laugh because Scott Norton was smoking a sparkler. I don't know why that made me laugh. It just did for some reason. I did write that I'm tired of Mongo and Benoit versus Double J and random partner. And then I straight up ate those words, because I loved this match. This was the best I'd ever seen Mongo. Write this down. I'm giving Mongo McMichael an A. Granted, it's a tag match, and he wasn't in there long. Every time they tagged in, he did the Mongo, come in, hit a couple moves, get back out. And Guerrero, Jarrett, and Benoit carried this match. But my God, it was good. Back and forth, hot tags, a lot of heat. We'll move to the finish. Let's see. Oh, Mongo scares Deborah. She drops the U.S. belt. Mongo hits Double J in the back with it. Benoit pins him 1-2-3. Pretty neat finish to it. I liked it. I mean, Mongo barely tapped him with it. I think he could have been a little better if he would have been standing up when the ref was turned, but whatever. It's the way it was. I love this. I gave it an A.
Excuse me. Nah, A's a good grade. Because, I mean, for me, like, this is one of those ones where, whether they realize it or not, the crowd played a big part in this. And, of course, I mean, it's WCW, and it's below the Mason-Dixon line, so it's going to be hot regardless. And I was say, that's one thing I thoroughly enjoyed about this episode was the crowd, because they were into it from the start of the pyro to the ending credits, basically. And it showed in this match for sure. And of course, I mean, you ask any wrestler, they'll tell you, like, the crowd plays a big part. And there was a ton of ring psychology in this match too that I really enjoyed. And yeah, the guys and gals in this case with Deborah involved played to that. Like, spots that were meant to get somebody over, they did just that. Spots that were meant to attract some heat, they did just that. And yeah, I'm with you on this one, Drew. This got an A.
Okay. And spoiler alert, Mongo will beat Jarrett for the U.S. title Thursday at Clash of Champions in 8 minutes.
Wow.
Great. What do you think about this one, Lauren?
I thought this was one of the more entertaining ones in this particular Nitro, for sure. I always enjoy, like, when the actual belts get used for some reason. That just tickles me in a way. It's like, okay, like, not only is this like your prize and your title, but like, you can use it to do things. And I'll give it an A also, just for like what y'all said. I mean, y'all sold me a little bit more on it than I was, but like, from this whole offering of things in this Nitro, I liked this one.
I will say I like that description on the belts, because you think about it. It's like, you know, you got this belt, this prestigious belt. This belt that has a history to it. Let's crack this guy over the noggin with it.
Yeah, right? Like, I feel like they need to do that at the Oscars at some point. Like, you know, in order to, like, accept the next, like best actor, like, the one who got it last year had to, like, hit you over the head with his.
Oh, no.
I would watch the Oscars.
I'm booking next year's Oscars. And the winner is Shia LaBeouf. And he walks, or however you say his name, and he walks up, and as soon as he walks up, the guy just takes a thing and clocks him over the head and goes, hell no, the real winner is Harrison Ford! Woo! And he just looks over him and goes, could you imagine the ratings for the Oscars if we were allowed to book them like that?
That'd be amazing. They'd probably skyrocket for the first time since like the 80s.
Yeah, probably. That would be hilarious. But yeah, this was a good match. I really liked it. Then we get Arnold, you know what it is now? That's right. It's hour two. That's our imitating the pyro. Lauren's like, what is going on? I was not warned. And of course, we start out hour two with James J. Dillon looking like an absolute idiot from last week. More on that later. Bow chicka wow wow. Scott Hall comes down, says the people only want to watch the NWO. Kevin Nash says, too sweet, and blah, blah, blah. I love how they said Birmingham is NWO country right as a piece of trash flies by their face. Right. Great. And if you're ever in Birmingham, go see the Vulcan statue. It's absolutely amazing, the view you can see of town. It's one of my favorite places I've ever lived. Love that. It's a nice city. All right, but of course we got Shivani, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and Mike Tenay on commentary for hour two. And we're going to start out with another Road Wild rematch. That's right. It's that hot match, 6 versus Ric Flair. Why are we seeing this one again?
I guess it's as good as mine.
I don't know. This was, I don't know. Flair went for the figure four toward the end. This was basically the same match they had at Road Wild. Flair went for the figure four. Here comes the NWO and says, no, thank you. Gets DQ. Flair gets the crap kicked out of him until Curt Hennig comes and chases him off. And this whole match, to me, for some reason, I don't know if it was Six's extracurricular activities or what, had awkward timing and just did not work. It wasn't bad, because I mean, Ric Flair can still have a good match with anybody, even if they are coked out of their head, but didn't hit me right. I didn't like it. I gave it a C, especially after what we just saw. This just came off awkward is a good word. All right, Arnold.
I agree. This was one, like, when I saw it, I'm sitting there thinking to myself the same thing. I'm like, why do we need a rematch here? I feel like everything was all said and done at Road Wild, but I guess I figured maybe I missed something. And I knew there was going to be some shenanigans as soon as Six came out by himself. And I was like, I mean, anyone with half a brain who's watched Nitro over the last year knows what's going to happen here. And of course, they didn't disappoint. Get a DQ. They don't want their buddy to lose. I didn't really understand this one either. And like you said, especially after what we just saw, I'll be honest, I gave this one C-.
Yeah. And spoiler alert, Ric Flair and Hennig will beat Six and Conan in 5 minutes at Clash of Champions. 5 minutes. And a 8-man lucha tag got 5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This one tickle your fancy, Lauren?
No, I mean, I'm going to give it a C- also. And it's mostly because I feel like Ric Flair always looked old.
He's 40 at this point, 45. But
I mean, like, even I've seen like old, like, I don't know. I feel like he's always looked, I guess he hasn't aged poorly because he always looked old.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. You should see him as Matcha from a month ago.
Oh, I don't want to.
Neither do we. I made the quote that I'd rather watch Ric Flair's OnlyFans than another match.
Only woo.
Now, if he had an OnlyFans where all he did was stand there and go, woo, I would, whatever, however it is a month, I would sign up for that just because, but no. All right. Well, since that didn't tickle anybody's fancy, let's see if anybody likes the next thing. Spoiler alert, I didn't. All right. Yeah, I didn't like this next part. Why am I seeing Nick Patrick feud with Randy Anderson? I don't care. This is stupid. I'm tired of seeing Nick Patrick involved in things. Thought we would move past this. So we'll move on to our next match. And of course, Arnold, this is your boy, La Parca, with Sonny Ono versus the Ultimate Dragon in a TV title match. And I guess I've already told you that Ultimate Dragon's going to lose this Thursday. So, you know, he wins this one. And we'll just skip to the ending. This is actually a pretty good match between the two, even though La Parca is like twice his size, but he still flies around like a cruiserweight for some reason. I don't know. Let's see. Oh, so Sonny Ono decides he's going to get involved, distracts the ref. La Parca hits a enziguri. Then Sonny Ono tries to kick Ultimo Dragon, but hits La Parca on accident. We get a dragon sleeper, tap out, Ultimo Dragon wins. Then Ultimo Dragon kicks Sonny Ono off the apron just for good measure. This wasn't bad. It wasn't great. Yeah. I like... Oh, go ahead.
This gives points for me for the outfits.
Yeah, La Parca's different.
I liked what everybody was wearing.
Hey, that's part of it. I mean, that's
for sure.
And La Parca, he looks like a giant skeleton.
A sub episode on costumes.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually planning on a special where I do entrance music, but listen for that later, folks. But Ring Attire is not a bad one either. All right. All right. So, like I said, this wasn't great. Wasn't bad. I do get the point where, yeah, the guy looks like a dragon. The other one looks like a 6-foot-tall skeleton. I could see where that could be appealing.
Yeah.
We've lost Arnold somewhere, so I don't know what happened there. Might be having computer issues. La Parca is his guy. That's one of his absolute favorites, so he would love to hear you say that. But I like this. It wasn't bad. I gave it a B-.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in like solid B-- territory with this one too. I found it entertaining.
And I'm going to go ahead and say that Arnold probably gave it a B+ because he loves La Parca. That's just the way he'll go. We'll ask him if he comes back, when he comes back. Anyway, all right. So we'll move on to Kurt Hennig versus the Giant. And this one was about ready to irritate me so bad, I was about ready to just fast forward through it and give it an F, but they saved it. So the thing is, you know, Eric Bischoff has this restraining order against the Giant, so he can't get within 50 feet of him. So the Giant's in the ring, and here comes Bischoff waving his paper around, thinking that the Giant has to walk, get away from him and get out of the ring, and he would lose. But Doug Dillinger tells him flat to his face, that's not how restraining order works. They can't come to you. You can't just go to them like a magnet and push them off. That's not how it works. And if they would have done anything other than that, because I'm screaming that at the TV, this is stupid. What? That's not how it works. And then they do that. So it kind of works for me. And Giant does get his hands on Bischoff because Bischoff came at him. And then Bischoff runs away. Other than this, this was kind of dumb. The match was inconsequential. Didn't really matter. I didn't write anything down about it, really. Just a couple things that the Giant was throwing around like a rag doll. I'm not really into this whole Bischoff versus the Giant with a restraining order thing. It's kind of silly to me. But the fact that they actually did the logical thing with, hey, that's not how restraining order works, it kind of got over with me. So I ended up giving this a B.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a sloppy storytelling that they tried to kind of legitimize with that, like, oh, no, we get that this was stupid. But yeah, I mean, I didn't find it hugely entertaining. I'm going to go with a C+.
Yeah, I can see that. What about you, Arnold? What do you think about the Giant and Hennig segment?
Yeah, the Giant Hennig segment. Yeah, I'm with agreeance with Lauren there. I got a C+.
So I'm the only one that liked it. I gave it a B. But I will say the only reason I gave it a B is because they did the logical, that's not how restraining order works. Way to go, Doug Dillinger. All right. Since you're back, Arnold, what'd you think of La Parca and Dragon?
Oh, now La Parca and Dragon, that one went on a little longer than it should have. But at the same time, glad Ultimo got the win here, even if it was over my boy La Parca. And that one got a C+.
Oh, wow. I was way off. I said B+ just because it was La Parca. But you missed it now that you're back. Lauren gave that match bonus points because she liked what they were wearing. And that's awesome. I love that. All right. Now we get to the segment we have every week where James J. Dillon looks like a moron. He's with Mean Gene, says he has no new contract this week, but wants Sting to tell WCW what he wants. Why does he look like a moron? Everybody knows what he wants. The crowd chanted it to him last week, and Sting's like, yeah, pointing at him. He won't talk, but he points at him. That's what I want. This week, he grabs a sign that says Hogan wants Sting, or Hogan versus Sting, holds it up at JJ's face, and JJ goes, dum, 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 bur, her, 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 arty, darty, arty, darty, no idea what you want. Anywho, I hate this, making JJ look like an idiot. This is stupid. We're in like week 4 of this, and it's one of those things that don't treat me like an idiot kind of things. I'm not an idiot. I'm a moron, but don't treat me like an idiot. Yeah, this is stupid. But you know what's not stupid, Arnold? Tell us about our main event.
Our main event. We got a tag team match for our main event. This would be interesting. We've got the tag team champions, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, also known as the Outsiders, taking on Mr. Self High Five himself, Diamond Dallas Page, and the Total Package, Lex Luger. And I didn't know this until at some point somebody might have said something, but apparently the belts were on the line. So that's a thing. Cool. This match went exactly how I thought it would go. with the guys involved in the ring. And long story short, of course, the Outsiders pulled some shenanigans. Believe it was, I can't remember who it was. Somebody almost got the snake eyes, but got the Russian leg sweep. Oh, DDP. Sorry, I didn't write it down. But yeah.
Then he ends up actually getting the snake eyes later.
Yep. It was like, yeah, Nash finally got him on in there. And Luger got mad. So there's that.
Can we talk about Luger for 2 seconds in this match?
Let's do it.
Why did, if I thought James J. Dillon looked like an idiot, why did Luger keep trying to come across the ring and getting cut off while his partner got the crap beat out of him and allowing false tags? Do that once, maybe twice. He did that 4 or 5 times in this match.
Yep.
Somebody should have told him, no, stop it. You look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And this
was like it was.
This will be a rematch from Thursday too, sort of. But I believe Nash actually gets a little hurt here, so that we end up subbing out for Macho Man using the Freebird rule on Thursday. And, of course, the Outsiders retain.
Oh, yeah. That goes without saying here. Politics. But,
yeah.
Speaking of all those false tags, and a little later on after Luger tried to, I guess, help DDP numerous times to fail, we get a hot tag. And he decides to just fling clotheslines out like Oprah giving away cars. It was crazy. And, of course, that sends the NWO into a panic, and they all flee with their tails between their legs for the DQ. So they do retain, you know, because they were disqualified. They didn't lose. And which causes Mike Tenay to wonder where the WCW guys are. And, of course, no sooner than he says that, as if on cue, here comes the Giant and Ric Flair. And causes a big brawl to close out the show. And Lauren, I don't know how much WCW you've watched recently, but these are the years where it's either someone's flapping their gums to end the show or there's an all-out brawl to end the show. I prefer it when it's an all-out brawl to end the show only because, I mean, hey, it's an all-out brawl.
What, you don't like this for 10 minutes?
Why not?
I'm posing like Hogan.
Because if I want to watch that, I'll just watch WWF from the 80s.
Yeah, true. Very true.
But it was a little insulting to the fact that it was another non-finish. But then again, like I said, with who was involved in this match, I wasn't expecting a finish. And even if it was, it would have been the Outsiders going over dirty anyway at this point. But all in all, I will say the match itself, at least to me, was entertaining. So I gave it a B+.
Lauren, I'll let you go next. Ladies first.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to give it a C because I feel like there were too many shenanigans and a non-finish, like you said, I feel is insulting.
Am I the only one that loved this? Wow. I gave this, I'm going to just go over. I gave this an A. I loved it. Even with what it was, I really popped on the DDP throwing out a head scissors takedown on, I believe it was Scott Hall. Loved that. No, Kevin Nash. That was pretty cool. The brawl I'm okay with, knowing that they were going to go at Thursday at Clash of Champions, where that was kind of like a sort of pay-per-view type thing. I guess it's more I like the people involved. Luger acting stupid, probably should have knocked us down to a B now that I'm thinking about it, but I'm going to stick with my original grade. Like you said, I don't like shows ending with brawls or just posing or talking. I want to see a finish to a match that pops the crowd. This didn't have that, of course, obviously. Didn't care for that. But overall, I still liked it. It was an A. It was entertaining to me. And that's the end of Nitro from August 18th, 1997. Not a great one, not a bad one overall. It had its moments, but I will say that it's averaged out to a B grade-wise, and I'm going to go ahead and stick with that. I'm going to give this a B.
There you go. For me, I'll say a little too many non-finishes on the night, especially if this is supposed to be your, like, go home or build up for Clash of Champions. I would have liked to have seen at least a few more finishes. And I mean, even in the main event, even if it was the outsiders going over Dirty, I would have been okay with that. Somebody went over. But for me, this show averaged out to a C+.
I can see that. I can understand. I must have just been in a really good mood sitting at the garage watching this.
Oh, God. Well, if I had to put a grade on this whole thing, I'm going to give it a C because I was not overall moved by this entire offering.
Understandable. So between our two, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Raw, so you like the WWF version of tonight more than this one, seems like.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah,
I openly admit that I did.
Oh, it's okay. I'll unabashedly admit that one. But even though they get the same grade, I would watch Raw twice before I would watch this again. And I gave them both Bs, but still, Raw was much, much better to me. But that's what it is. So B, C, C plus. So we're all pretty close. Nothing we need to chastise the other one about, except for Arnold, your grades all suck. That's a heel turn. I'm going to be the bad guy now. We'll have a feud. All right. Well, that's been our review for WCW Nitro from August 18th, 1997, where we didn't care for it all too much. But you know what? It's okay. If they're all great, nothing's great. So you got to have your downers that get your uppers.
True.
Well, yeah. I could have probably worded that one better, but oh well.
Well, actually, if you don't mind, I do have something that I do on my show when something like that happens. So I'm going to push one of my buttons for you real quick.
Absolutely.
We're doing deals, uppers and downers.
Did you hear that?
Yes, yes. Do it again. Do it again.
We doing deals, uppers and downers.
Oh, yeah. We don't have a budget for sound effects. I love that. That is great. Oh, yeah. All right, Megan, say something else funny.
Yeah, I have a bunch of Weird Al buttons. So like, yes. Anytime one of us like needs to like Google something, I go like this.
Wait a minute, I'll go check.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. Lauren, you've been awesome. Tell everybody one more time where they can listen to you and follow you in places.
Yeah, so like I said, I have the Beard Al podcast. We talk about craft beer and Weird Al Yankovic, sometimes more of one than the other, but it's almost all Weird Al all the time. And you can find us on Twitter at Beard Al Podcast, same on Instagram and Facebook, and beardalpodcast.com. That's beer D-Al, because I know it's like, it's not like beard like facial hair, it's like beer, because like we're beer and we're weird.
That's okay. I do have to ask you one question before we go. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the Weird Al movie?
27.
I was actually kind of low. I thought you would go way higher than that, but well, 27
is 27. The Weird Al number.
Yeah,
I've got a necklace and everything.
Nice.
I was kind of figuring like 1,027,000.
Oh yeah, it's for sure. But like when you give me a scale of 1 to 10, I feel like 27 is, 2.7 times higher than that. So.
Oh, math. Wow. I can't do that. I can't do math. Yeah. Mrs. Robinson told me you won't ever have a calculator in your pocket when you're growing up. Ha ha ha. Still do. Anywho. All right. Well, that's been us today. Thanks for listening. Your listeners are awesome. If you, Arnold, do you want to tell them where they can find us?
Obviously in podcast land, people, come on. If for some reason you feel the need to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter and the Instagram, both at AEWRpod. And if for some reason social media is a scary hellscape and you prefer the old-fashioned method of email, you can find us at AEWR316@gmail.com.
All right. Well, all right, Arnold, do the outro.
All right. And We'll be doing this as we always do with our special guests. So we will get to that. I have been the man with the velvet vocal cords, Arnold, and with me, as always, the two-time reigning, defending, and current finalist for Armchair Booker of the Year, the Big Drewski. Of course, being joined by our special guest, Lauren, of the Beard Owl Podcast. We are staring up at those lights. Count us out, Lauren.
All right. One, two, three.
Peace.
Peace.